Welcome to Conversations from the Filling Station. Our mission is to equip and empower the people of God and see his kingdom enlarged through his presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this message will inspire and equip you in your faith. You will find previous conversations at thefillingstation.org/podcasts and in all your favorite podcast platforms.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to our next conversation that we're into. And we've had some great conversations. I'm Helly. I'm with Richard and Simon. And today we're going to be sharing and chatting about the supernatural gift of speaking or praying in tongues. And one of the things that struck me just before we came on this call, and Simon and I were just chatting about it, was that in Babel, we remember what happened at Babel. They were building for their own gain, going as high as they could. And as a consequence, to stop that and to bring about confusion, it says that their tongues became confused, their languages got confused. So then at Pentecost, when we have the gathering together of the church waiting on the Spirit and receiving the Spirit of God, what happens is it kind of unravels the mess up of Babel. And this is part of the amazing history of God, that God works in all sorts of situations, using really interesting, intriguing ways to bring about his kingdom plan and his redemption and his solutions for things that we humans have really stuffed up and got wrong. So tongues is an example of God redeeming languages. And obviously life and death is in the power of the tongue. There's a lot of weight in our words that can bring life and death. And so when God gives a supernatural language, he's really proving a point deeper than just the amazing ability to speak in another language. He's redeeming something that has also got out of control in our brains and in our bodies, and he's bringing it back into his kingdom plan. So guys, what an exciting topic to talk
about. I know, marvelous. Good call. Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, tongues is extraordinary, isn't it, Helly? I mean, you're quite right. It's very profound, profound thing. That it's actually a gift from God, and like any gift from God, it's got to be good, isn't it? And so that's a great place to start, what you've just told us there.
I just read the scripture as well from Acts 2. It's phenomenal what happened, because it just says they were all speaking and filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is in Acts 2. Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs, and we hear them, this is what they were doing, declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. So there was a tongue of man that was released there, but there's also heavenly tongues, isn't there, which is...
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the tongues, it talks about the tongues of angels in 1 Corinthians 13, and you know, sometimes we don't understand the language that we have when we speak in tongues, but you know, there are lots of examples where those languages have been understood. And I remember once I was praying for a Kenyan chap in our church, and quite a number of years ago, and I was just praying in tongues over him, and suddenly he gets very excited and just starts saying, "You're praying in Swahili," and I'm like, I have really, I know I don't speak Swahili. I know two words in Swahili, like hello and goodbye, which that's it. But he then started to interpret the tongue that I had, which was talking about praising God and giving glory to God. And then a few times since then, when I've been around Kenyans who speak Swahili, I've also spoken in Swahili in tongues. Like I was in we were doing a conference in Kenya one time, and my tongue switched into Swahili, and I stood at the and just shared for about 5 minutes in tongues in Swahili. Wow. Which was it is just sometimes those moments are a bit of a sign and a wonder to God's people, but amazing that God would do that. And all the words were, when it was interpreted, it was all about bringing glory to God and lifting up the name of Jesus and the release of his kingdom.
Yeah, very exciting. I think as we get into this, we ought to probably right up front talk about the definition of what tongues is, the supernatural gift of tongues, because I'm sure many of our viewers on this don't really know what that is. I mean, my experience of it was that I got converted when I was about 20, 21 years old. And for my first 7 or 8 years of being in church, I went to good churches, they're very biblical. They taught me a lot of good things, particularly about the cross and what Jesus had done and so on. But they never touched on this spiritual gift of tongues. And I remember reading in Corinthians and thinking, what on earth is that? That's very weird. And if I'm honest, I was a little bit alarmed by it and a bit, certainly ignorant, but I was also a bit alarmed by it because I understood there were people called Pentecostal Christians that used to jabber away in this tongue. In fact, we were living in Bath at the time, and there was a church over in Bristol called Pip and Jay's, which you may remember. And I remember my father sort of rather humbly one breakfast saying, do you know that church, Pip and Jay, they speak in their tongues? And my father was actually fairly new Christian himself. He came to the Lord quite later in life, but I remember it was all rather alarming. But it was only later when I went to a church in London where I with a great friend who was very, very bright, a great friend of mine from university, and she had tongues. And she said, well, there's nothing to be frightened of here. This is not anything scary. This is from the Lord. You're totally in charge of what you're doing. It is a language. It's a prayer language. That's what scripture tells us, isn't it? It's a prayer language, a personal prayer language between us and the Lord. And when you speak in this tongue or sing in it, and it's like you go straight to God's heart. I mean, our prayers do go straight to the Lord's heart, but it's like you're intimately communicating with him. And they've done studies on it, haven't they? It is a language. You know, the words you use are the same words. We don't necessarily know the interpretation of that word exactly means such and such, although in your case, Simon, with the Swahili, it was helpful that was a tongue of men. So there was a man there who spoke Swahili, so he could tell you what he was saying. But the one, particularly if they're a tongue of an angel, we will never really know what that means this side of death. But we know it's from God. We know it's a good thing. And our spirit is intimately communicating with his spirit. Is the idea. That's been said in some of my experiences of it. How about you, Ellie? How did you get tongues? When did that?
I was just remembering the first time I was actually in church and someone just shouted out in the middle of it was a sort of a calm bit in the sun worship, and then someone shouted something out and it was a spine tingling, you know, that kind of feeling. And I was like, oh, what's that? And it was that sort of reminder, wow, God's in his house and this is beyond human. So when we say, you know, they're supernatural gifts, they really are beyond our natural, because this is God just taking a hold of a part of our body where he describes us, you know, as having instruments of praise, Paul says, doesn't he? Use your body as instruments of praise. It's almost like you allow a part of your body to just become an instrument for God to use. And that tongue, I think, was a heavenly tongue. And then, you know, the pastor came up and waited and someone brought an interpretation to that tongue in the gathered room. And it really was amazing. It was that sense of remembering that us humans, we can miss each other, can't we, and misunderstand each other. And again, it's another point proven by God that when we encounter the Holy Spirit, he brings a unity that's beyond our natural ability, that one person could speak something out and another person needs the Spirit of God to be able to understand what it is. And he forces that joining in the body of Christ to work together to understand one another, brings another gift into play. And I remember thinking, wow, it's God's powerful, but he's also really fun and interesting. But it just sort of makes you sit up again, doesn't it? And then recently, I think I've just suddenly felt more urgently just been having more conversations about speaking in tongues and with friends and things. And a fun story was my friend on the megabus going to London, and she was just praying on the megabus and listening to the Holy Spirit. She got words that came into her mind as she was praying, and she didn't have anyone on the bus to obviously translate anything. I wonder what that means. And so she spoke into Google Translate, and it came out that it was Nigerian Hausa, and it was it was a phrase, bless, it was what's it now, I breathe life into you. And then she went looking in London for some Nigerians who spoke this dialect, Hausa. And
I know this is a large chunk of Nigeria.
So she just went up to this guy and said, you know, I'm a Christian, I've got these words, I think it might be a message from God for you. And obviously she just said in Hausa, but you know, the translation would be breathe out, and he was just totally overwhelmed, you know, that God could have given this girl on a bus.
Yeah, amazing. But Helly, that what your experience, what you were talking about a moment ago, was where someone speaks out in a crowd. That's it was part two, isn't it? Because it's a private personal prayer language first. You exercise it there, we grow in that understanding how that works. But occasionally in a congregation, God sort of like prods somebody with the tongue and they speak it out. It's like blowing, I think it was like, but like blowing a trumpet in a room. It gets everyone's attention, like it did with you. Gets everyone's attention. And then there's an interpretation in English or whatever language you're operating in. And I often find, I don't know how you feel about this, Simon and Helly, but often when there's public usage like that and the interpretation comes, the interpretation is not necessarily a prophecy. It may not be God is going to do this amongst you, blah, 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 blah. It may just be affirmation and love and confirmation and encouragement, sort of along the lines of, I'm really with you. You're going through the fire, you're having a tough time as a group, but I, the Lord God, will protect you and stand with you, whatever it is. You know, it doesn't have to be a prophecy. I noticed that many people think it must be a prophecy, otherwise it's not valid kind of idea. But what do you guys feel about that?
I don't think it has to be a prophecy. I think it, you know, could well be a prayer, you know, as well, which is interpreted. And, you know, and let's not forget, like, the interpretation of tongues is a gift of the Spirit. And I think sometimes people are concerned that, you know, the 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, you know, tongues will cease. But when you actually look at that passage, it says, you know, when the perfect comes, and that's talking about Jesus. It's not talking about people say it's to do with when the Bible was completed, that's the perfect, therefore tongues don't exist. That's not true. You know, even cessationist interpreters say that's a wrong interpretation. So it's something he wants for all of us to be activated in and to ask the Lord for it. And certainly, I think whenever I read through Acts, when the Holy Spirit came upon people, one of the fruits of that was speaking in tongues. And through history, you know, I've heard so many testimonies of people who've been, when they've been filled with the Spirit, suddenly they were speaking in tongues and they didn't even necessarily know what tongues were. Or they've been baptized and they come up out of the waters speaking in tongues.
Yes.
You know, and it is a supernatural gift. And it's amazing, I think, you know, because it does build us up. And I think there's a scripture in Jude 1:20, it says, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, and I think, you know, that's generally interpreted as praying in tongues. So when we do it, it builds our spirit, it builds our faith and stirs us up.
It does.
I remember thinking about how I think she spoke in the 1960s when she first went to Hong Kong, you know, praying for her impacted people. She set a clock, didn't she, for doing at least 15 minutes a day. And she noticed a real shift.
Love it.
Crime and the effectiveness and, you know, people being set free. And I don't know whether that still goes on when they do that ministry now, but I've heard they really hammer it in tongues in prayer. So there's something obviously that, like you were saying, Richard, it joins us closer to God by using this gift.
Well, as Simon says, that it builds the people up. I think the old English word used in scripture is to edify. It edifies. It strengthens from within when you use this particular gift. I mean, my experience of getting it was a bit of a surprise. I was going to these good churches, but they didn't talk about these sort of things. And I was on my own once driving on the A25 south of London. And this dates this story because I had on the car, just me on my own in the car, I had a tape machine. Do you remember those? And I was playing on the tape machine, hymns, ancient and modern, being a good Anglican boy. Hymns and ancient and modern. So I was singing along to Lord. I remember praying as I was singing, thinking, well, this is all very well, singing loudly in my car, Lord, but I really love you. And I want to worship you better. I want to be more thorough about this. And I had sort of vague notions, I think, of perhaps I should join a choir or something in the cathedral. Anyway, I had vague ideas along those lines. But anyway, I was singing away, thine be the glory, blah, 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 blah. And then suddenly I started going, thine be the glory, shalabarak, ya tora, shalabarak. Okay. Oh no, that's that tongues thing.
Oh, wow.
So my brain kicked in. I thought, oh no, I'm sure that's not good. Oh dear, it's a bit suspicious that, you know. But it was that the Spirit very helpfully just used my vocal cords and started to give me the first inklings of this new language, this private prayer language. And I did it again later with my friend who had tongues, and it wasn't embarrassing to pray with them. And it developed. And the other thing I would just like to highlight from my experience is that he doesn't give you your tongue all in one go and you could speak, you know, sort of 150 words. He give you one or two phrases to start off with. It's like a baby or child learning to speak, isn't it? They don't suddenly go from zero, saying nothing, to good morning, mummy. Could you pass me a piece of toast? You know, they don't give you the sort of full English language all in one shot. You learn mama, dada, and you learn some words as you grow along. And so it's progressively, the vocabulary for me certainly has increased. And I reckon there's about 40, 50 words that I can sort of identify as part of my tongue. That's been my experience.
Wow.
That's amazing. I do find, as one of the things I've prayed for is, Lord, would you give me different languages and tongues? And I'm aware that I've got about two different languages generally. There's like a general speaking in tongues. And then often when I'm in a spiritual warfare mode, the language shifts to a distinctly different language, which are, and it's not a science, is it? So, but it's quite amazing that God would, do that. And so, even for those listening to this, ask God for different languages to stir yourself up. And I would, certainly challenge people, spend some time praying in tongues, because it will, it will build you up. It will encourage you. And I do believe it's something that when we do it, it softens our hearts to hearing God's voice.
Yeah, I mean, I sometimes do speak in tongues and pray in tongues in different ways. Sometimes I'll just speak to build up my faith, and it feels sort of ramble is the wrong word, but rolling it round, rolling what I've got. And then other times I feel like, and that's particularly kind of to build, like you say, build our faith. And then other times there's times where I feel like I really want to pray through an issue, and I'll pray in tongues, imagining the issue. Often I'm walking around the house, I go upstairs and downstairs and all around praying in tongues about a situation. And that, like exactly like you say, Simon, I feel my tongues change, and sometimes they get a bit sort of choppy and warfare-y. And other times I can sense like my whole body, my mind, and the way that my tongue sounds coming to a sense of peace. And it feels like I've used that tongue. I haven't known what I'm praying, but obviously we know it says the Holy Spirit intercedes on behalf. And so it's like an act of physical intercession to give that moment to God to pray through an issue. And then when it comes, the tongue changes to be at peace, and I feel like I've run out of words almost. I feel like, that's done now, that's resolved. So I think for an issue with tongues, but you can also pray through something using your tongue as the instrument to see how does God feel about it, what's the tone he's taking on that, and are there things that come to mind with my English brain in that are helpful now because I've spoken out in tongues for that period of time. It's the tone, or it's how hard or soft it is, or authoritative, or sometimes you feel it's instructive and you feel like it's commanding something. And other times it's just God is obviously just doing something that I have no idea about.
Because Ellie, isn't that how we use English language anyhow?
Yes.
With times when we're ecstatic and excited about something, other times when we're very peaceful. And, sometimes we give instructions to other people. Sometimes we're worshipping God with our mouth, this sort of stuff. And that sounds very normal, I would have thought, if it's just a language.
Well, often I find, certainly similarly to Heli, just there's a challenge. I will kind of be thinking about that and say, Lord, I don't even know what to pray, but I'm just going to pray in tongues with this situation in mind, and then just trust that the Lord is praying through me. What it talks in Romans 8, as Heli mentioned, this Holy Spirit kind of intercedes through us. And just so you mentioned the Jackie Pullinger situation, and that. So that was one of the most successful drug rehab places in the world. And they used to pray for people who'd come out of gangs on drugs 24 hours a day in tongues. So they would have people doing 8-hour shifts of praying in tongues, and then they would pass over to someone else.
Yeah.
Friend of mine at university went
real
on.
Power,
there is power. And we think actually maybe if we did more of this, it would bring a shift to more of the situations around.
Yeah. And also scripture talks about, St. Paul talks about singing in tongues. So that's another aspect of it, is obviously evidently worship, because if you're singing together as a corporate group, you're worshiping. In fact, we had quite an interesting experience of that in our old church when we were living in Cape Town, church down there, in that we had a group, about 15 deaf people came and joined the church. And many of them have been deaf since birth, so they'd never heard anything. It was their natural ears. And if we're honest, many of them had taught themselves to speak English. But as a result of them never hearing their own voice, their modulation on their English was all over the place. And it sounded strange, you know, to us. But when the Spirit came down on the meeting, and when they started to worship in their tongue, though, they were all beautiful. The voices were beautiful. They were all in harmony. And my worship leader told me they all start on C, you know, they were beautiful. And it was like the Holy Spirit was sort of choreographing them as they were speaking spirit to spirit, singing in their tongue. The Holy Spirit was leading it, beautifully done. And we go from English, we go straight into tongues. It was very noticeable. I used to stand next to them and I noticed the difference. It's fascinating. I thought, this is a new one. The Holy Spirit can lead tongues in worship.
Wow. Yeah, well, absolutely. It's amazing that they were all in kind of tune. Isn't that just quite amazing? I've just remembered as well, you know, just remember someone saying a number of years ago, there was some research done when people speak in tongues, it actually builds your immune system. And there's some research in America where they have found that when people speak in tongues, it does actually build your immunity. I'll try and put that in the comments. In the social media platforms.
And also, I don't know if anyone's ever seen the podcast called The Diary of a CEO, but they were interviewing somebody, and they were neuroscientists, and they were talking about the religious people speaking in tongues, and he actually said as well, from a neuroscience perspective, that they are more peaceful when they're speaking because it moves to a different part of the brain. So it's kind of different points, which from the spirit, not where you normally get your and so your brain is actually more at peace when you're talking in tongues rather than what you would imagine. You know, you're stimulating your mind, you're bringing it to a supernatural place of peace. So I thought that was quite a fun fact.
Very interesting. I find when
at the gift of tongues
when I was doing things like evening services, and when I was if I'm exhausted physically in the natural exhausted, if I start speaking in tongues at that moment, it's a bit like you, Helly, by the 5 minutes in, I'm restored. I'm in just a different physical space with it. I remember many a time after church on the Sunday evening service, going home at 10 o'clock or something, like, being fairly exhausted, and I pray for 5 minutes up the road as we drove home. And by the time I got home, I was fresh and alert again. Oh.
Amazing. And it does seem to, I mean, I often pray in tongues if there's a, you know, if you're anxious or concerned about something, when I kind of pray in tongues over that issue, I'm aware of just like a peace of God that kind of transcends. And I find that this isn't about how long we pray in tongues, but the longer I pray in tongues, I often find it just, you just go deeper and deeper, and it becomes more nourishing, as it were, to your soul and spirit as you do that, as you spend lengths of time praying in tongues. You know, the Apostle Paul said that, you know, I pray in tongues more than all of you. So he was seemed to be at every moment praying in tongues when he could, because he recognized the value of doing it.
Yeah, quite right. Quite right. Very good. Great gift. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, one of the things I've just encouraged, you know, listeners to this, you know, find moments, you know, where you can pursue praying in tongues. Maybe it's a car journey. Maybe you've got like a half an hour journey somewhere.
And on your tape machine.
And, you know, maybe say, okay, I'm just going to pray in tongues for this whole journey. You know, sometimes I used to set myself like challenges like that. I used to have various commutes I used to do and think, okay, on this, when I do this part of the journey, I'm going to pray in tongues for the whole of that section. And that was just really, really helpful. And I find actually the more I do it, the more encouraging it is. It kind of tunes me back into the things of God. And, you know, and actually I've often found a greater hunger for the word of God as well when I've spent longer times praying in tongues.
I was just going to say, in scripture it says as well, where Paul says they laid their hands on them, they were filled with the Spirit, and then they spoke in tongues, and then they prophesied. And I sort of wonder, I think it's always like that, but often you do get the messages from God on the back of speaking out and praying in tongues first. You then are more likely, I feel personally, to hear if God does want to say something in that moment. It kind of clears the airways almost for me.
Yeah, very good.
I encourage people to do that when we're doing prophetic activations or prophetic training. Let's spend some time just praying in tongues, then let's wait on God. And it feels like it's just like a bit of ground clearance in preparation for what God wants to say and what he wants to do.
And guys, what would we say to those viewers watching this who haven't got tongues, but are now intrigued and are curious about having it, about helping them start in this language? Because obviously I was exposed to it by friends and we started praying that eventually it happened. Interestingly, I've just, Joe and I, we're just over in Sweden, as you know, the latest Swedish filling station conference. And we pray with a young lass on the last night, a Kurdish girl, actually, she's 19, and about this. And we told her about it, talked about it a little bit. And she was initially a bit sort of skeptical, but what? Is that going to work? And then we just started praying with her. And she asked the Lord for the gift and she received it. And off she went with quite a few phrases. And she was so excited by the end of it. She said, "That's really good. I felt really warm inside," she says. So what would we say now to you, if you're watching, about how would you, if you'd like to receive this gift, what do you do? First step. Here's a question for both of you.
First step, ask the Lord, "Lord, would you give me the gift of tongues?" And, you know, worship, as you know, just as you found, Richard, is a good place to start. But it is a bit of a step of faith as well. And it is like a bubbling up of language. So you've got to open your mouth and, you know, how do you describe faith? I don't know, but it is an opening of the mouth. It's an asking of the Lord, and start by worshiping and just asking the Lord for that, and you know, trusting God will help you. Also, find other people who do speak in tongues and ask, lay hands on you. You know, there is also impartation that comes, and it can be encouraging when you're with other people. And I think sometimes people only get a few words to begin with, and then they're like, "Well, is that really tongues?" And I think the enemy would try and make people think, "Oh, you're just making that up." You know, the more I've done it, as we mentioned earlier, like my vocabulary has increased from a few words to begin with. You know, I'm like, I couldn't make this up. I could, you know, there's no way I could make this up. I couldn't make up Swahili. You know, I've spoken in, you know, Hindi and Italian as well. It's like, I don't know any of those languages. But, you know, ask people to pray for you, lay hands on you, and, you know, places of worship as well. I think those are helpful kind of places to start in speaking.
First, I agree, Sam. We can all help each other in this, particularly those who've got the gift. You know, we can, if nothing else, make a bit of noise around them when they're together and the person concerned. Particularly if they've asked, as you say, you do not have, because you do not ask, this is in scripture. So let's ask. Okay, Lord, that's a great gift. I think I'll have that one. I know one very eminent church leader, a real man of the word, who'd been in ministry for 40 years. And very late on, he bumped into circles where tongues was normal. And he asked the Lord repeatedly for it. And eventually, I think the Lord was sort of dealing with him because of his, where he come from. It didn't sort of happen instantly. In the sense, yep, I see a bit of persistence that, yeah, I do really want this gift. This is a good gift, actually, Lord. I want it. And eventually, he got it. And this last sort of 15 years or so, he's been using that as a very helpful prayer gift, I think.
I have a friend who asked a gift of tongues. I think he was a teenager, and it was only in his 20s when he went on mission to Brazil that it erupted out of him. It was kind of like received, but dormant, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Then it was suddenly activated as he prayed in fluent Portuguese for somebody out in Brazil. And he said it came from nowhere. He thought he hadn't got the gift. So,
right.
Brilliant. Amazing. Yeah.
So shall we pray?
Yes.
Why not? Let's do it. Should we pray in tongues as a working model? He did.
Oh, why don't we?
So bless you, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you that we can actually chat like this freely. And for all those viewing this, you, Lord, are being drawn in and intrigued by this particular gift. Do you ask, Holy Spirit, you might go ahead and go through the wire here, go through the picture and touch them and encourage them, give them and release that gift to them. May the gift of tongues be released to all manner of new people through this broadcast, we ask, Jesus. Lord, have mercy on us. Thank you that you're with us.
Thank you for listening to Conversations from the Filling Station. If you'd like to partner with us in seeing the Kingdom of God released, you have the opportunity to give at thefillingstation.org/donate. Have a blessed day.